Good morning. Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Let's open up our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, last week we left off with Jesus talking about a particular stone that would be around someone's neck if they dared to try and deceive one of his little ones or one of his own children. And they would be dropped into the midst of the sea. And this was a millstone. The idea there that they would not survive this. And that was showing God's sovereign hand of judgment and showing that no matter what, if you deceive and try to pull away those that love God, if you try to pull them away to something or someone else, judgment is coming, and it would be better for you to just drop yourself into the ocean with a concrete weight attached to you than it would be for the judgment that is coming your way. So last week we finished with verse 9. I want to pick it up today in verse 10. But let's actually go back and read from verses 1 through 10 to get the full context of what God is trying to teach us. Now look with me here at verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." All right, now verse 10. Pay close attention to this. It's actually really interesting. It says here, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always seek the face of my Father who is in heaven." Now, what in verse 10 stands out to you? Now, to me, it's their angels, assuming that each child or each person has their own personal guardian angel. But don't we? Well, that's what we've been taught and really have assumed for many generations. But we need to take a close look at what the Bible has to say about this. Now, this is a very important verse, but it is one that we're going to have to dig in for a whole lesson on. So we're going to save this one. We're going to set it aside for today because I don't want you to miss the context of what we talked about last week with what we have in front of us for this week. So I'm going to table this and we'll get back to it either next week or the following week. So look with me at verse 11. Jesus continues and says, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." Now, there is something so interesting about this verse, and I'll give you a hint as to why it's intriguing. It is connected to something that I talked about just recently when I closed in prayer, but I asked you to keep your Bibles open. Any ideas? Verse 11 is not in the original manuscripts. Now, it is believed that verse 11 was added later to either connect our understanding of what is going on better to the parable that is about to begin, or to better clarify the purpose of the parable. Now, as I've said before, I am not bothered by verse 11. I'm not bothered by it being added in because it is not a new thought being added. It is not new truth. But really, it's a commentary of what we already know from the scripture. All right, let's continue in verse 12. Jesus says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Now, this short parable connects to the discussion of protecting the children, protecting the little ones from the enemy, from being led astray to sin. This parable shows us how much Jesus cares about even the one sheep that goes astray. The ones that are part of the family of God, but at some point walk away. Jesus is showing us here that he does not give up on them. And we should rejoice in knowing this because it means that Jesus never stops loving us. He never stops helping us, and he never stops working to draw us to him. And that means that when we have been caught up by the distractions of this world, whatever they may be, even when we walk away from the Lord for years, he still loves us. He hasn't abandoned us, and he continues to search for even that one lost sheep. And really, this shows us what is going on in the background. Now, in the foreground, we see our brother or sister in Christ not in church. We see them precariously playing with the fire of sin. And we see them dangling their feet over the shark tank of sin. And we may still warn them, okay? We should speak the truth of Christ to them, and we should definitely be praying for them. Now, we'll come back to this thought in a moment, but let's hold our finger here in Matthew chapter 18 and head over to the parallel passage to this one in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and we're going to pick it up in verse 1. All right, verse 1. "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear Jesus." Now, something really interesting is noted here in verse 1. And it has a connection to Matthew chapter 18 and what we talked about last week with Jesus not wanting to offend. Now, can anyone venture a guess as to what we're seeing here? If you remember back in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 27, Jesus did not want to offend the tax collectors, so he paid the tax that was actually completely unnecessary for himself to pay. But he did not want to offend these tax collectors, closing the door from him presenting the gospel. Now notice that what we are seeing here in verse 1 is that it's not just the sinners that have gathered near to Jesus to hear from him, but specifically the tax collectors. Now if Jesus had not paid that tax, the door to them listening to his truth may have just been closed. Now, this reminds us again that we need to be cautious that we are not casually offending someone, especially making someone lower when we are trying to make ourselves greater. Because when we casually offend someone, meaning that we don't take a lot of thought in what we're doing, but we offend because frankly, we don't really care. What we're doing is we're closing the door of communication with them. Now, let's continue in verse 2. "And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them." Now we have the spiritual authorities over the Jews declaring that Jesus sits with and eats with sinners, those who have not made any kind of decision of their faith. Now let's be clear here. This means that the spiritual leaders over the Jews would shun or ignore anyone who did not believe what they believed. And to me, why would I want to believe what you believe if clearly you are not loving or caring, but more judgmental towards me? And I think this is something important that we should take a minute, even on our own, to consider. This takes us back to the not wanting to cause an offense because you don't want to turn them away. You know, the Pharisees didn't care about that. They were more prone to have that attitude that you should submit no matter what. And we should not be like that. We should sit and eat with those who don't know Christ. We should have conversations and build bridges with those who don't know. Now, something really important that I think must be said here. Looking at verse 2, one more time, it says, regarding Jesus now, this man received sinners and eats with them. Now, when I dig into the Greek for a deeper understanding of this word receives, it simply means to not reject. It means to have a conversation with, to sit down and be friendly. However, what it does not mean is accept. And I want to make that really important distinction because Jesus never accepted anyone's sin. Let me say that one more time. Jesus never accepted anyone's sin. He also never joined in with them to sin. Jesus never, ever, 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 ever promoted sin. Never. Now, yes, Jesus accepts us as we are, sinners in need of a great Savior to forgive us, but then we are expected to follow Jesus. And in following Jesus, we are expected to let go of our sinful passions and change to be more like Him. And by the way, we cannot change on our own. No one can become righteous on their own. It takes an act of God to transform us to be more like Him. Now, it's necessary to note as well something very important. When Jesus is sitting with the sinners, He may be talking a little bit about average things, asking them how their day is going and so on, using regular conversation as icebreakers, but all of His conversations are for the purpose of leading people to the truth of God's Word. Yes, we need to be careful that we don't offend people by the things that we do and the things that we say personally or even how we say them. But what we need to do is position God's Word and allow that to offend. And let me clarify this a little bit. First, consider Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. The first part says, speaking the truth in love. Now, what is this truth? Well, this truth is God's Word. And remember, our truth should always be centered on God and the truth of the Scripture. Always. Scripture should lead our lives. Now, if Jesus had just sat with sinners or dined with sinners, what would be the point? To simply make another friend? Maybe there would be hope that if He was nice on one side and maybe made a friend, that that person might come and hear Him talking about the gospel later. But Jesus' point on earth was not to make friends, but to warn people of the impending doom that would come if they did not put their faith and trust in the Lord. Now, speaking the truth in love is not just telling someone the truth. Like, say that I was out with a friend and I was trying on a hat and I asked him how I looked in the hat and he said, well, I don't think it looks good on you. Now, he may be offering truth, even perspective truth, but that's not the context of what this phrase means. Speaking the truth in love is about giving from the Bible doctrinally correct information for the purpose of helping someone who is in need of moral correction. And this is with both unbelievers and believers. We all need to hear the truth of God's Word in order to change our moral behavior. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we are morally misguided, again, as both believers and unbelievers, we are not searching for the truth. As believers, we may be hiding from it. Unbelievers are running from it. So how do they hear? They must hear by the Word of God, and we must bring it to them. Now, we need to be gentle in doing so, and we need to be loving. But if we are not presenting the truth of God's Word, then it is just perspective and opinion. And what's the point? Jesus wants us to position his word in our conversations and in our life, especially with unbelievers. In fact, we should be speaking the truth in love with all people. Now, let me ask you this. Is there a place that you can think of that we should not be speaking the truth in love? No. We should always be speaking the truth in love. That means that we should be doing so in our homes, at our jobs, in our churches, with our friends, even with complete strangers. We should always be speaking God's truth in a careful, non-judgmental, and loving manner. Now, I would say that even when they ask us to stop speaking God's truth to them, they don't want to hear it, we still need to speak the truth in love. Now, let's say that you had the opportunity to live out God's truth without saying anything. That's good, but how will the unsaved come to know Christ if they do not hear the word of God? Now, there are lots of kind and caring Buddhists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and even Hindus in the world today that people can look at and say that they were sacrificial and they were good people. The same that they would say about you if you were only living out Christ instead of saying anything. And that is why our actions must be accompanied by the Word of God. If they are not, people will never know the truth. There are many today that suggest that if we just exist in life and live out God, that's good enough. And after all, we have the example of Jesus Christ who lived out God every day. But all the examples that we see of Jesus Christ in the New Testament is he didn't just live out God, but he opened his mouth and spoke about God, taught about God, and encouraged sinners to turn from their sins and turn to God instead. It is our responsibility to speak the truth in love. We don't speak the truth in love for our own benefit. And there are many today who are closet Christians simply because they don't want to have to address their friends to what they believe and why, because they may be canceled or lose their friends or family altogether. Consider James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, which says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Now, we shouldn't be surprised when we are canceled for sharing Christ. After all, Jesus was canceled by so many. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." Now, do you know who the most important person is that we need to be speaking God's truth to on a daily basis? The most important person who needs to hear God's truth on a daily basis? It's ourselves. Our own selves. We need to be speaking the truth of God into us every day. Now hold your finger here in Luke 15 and turn back with me to Matthew chapter 7. And we'll start in verse 1. Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now we can see the golden rule in play here, okay? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now the key here is to preach the truth to yourself and make sure that you are focused on your own personal righteousness. You're standing with God before you move forward to helping others with theirs. Now this doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. But if you have a sin problem in your life and you start to address the sin problems in other people's lives as a much greater sin, then they're never going to take you seriously. I have a relative, okay? I have a relative that has a serious gossiping problem. This person goes to church and claims to be a Christian, and all the while will tell everyone about all of the problems in other people's lives. But you know what? There never seems to be a problem with them personally. Never. The finger is always pointed away from them and onto someone else. And I've never taken anything that they have said seriously. I've never trusted them. And I've always gone out of my way to stay away from them. There is a large plank in their eye and they refuse to see it. Don't let that be you. All right, turn back with me to Luke chapter 15, and let's pick it up in verse 3. So Jesus spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Now, looking at this text, it is a little different than the one back in Matthew. Now, the imagery that Jesus is providing us with is mostly the same, but who he is addressing is different. Back in Matthew, he was addressing the Christians who have walked away from their relationship with Christ or have been pulled away by others. In this text, we see that he singles in on those who have not repented of their sins, who are not gospel believers, but are in need of the gospel. Now, what's interesting about this text is it shows us that God is not waiting around for us to come to him. No, Jesus is going after those who are lost. Proof, again, that God loves mankind and that he wants to see all of us in the kingdom of heaven. Now, there is one more piece that this is connected with, but we're going to need another 20 minutes or so to get into it. So we'll plan on getting into that next week. But the biggest key here is to not shy away from the truth. Yes, we will indefinitely have opportunities to share Christ in the future, even today. And we will indefinitely have struggles with people who are not happy with hearing it, especially here in California. But that does not mean that we should give up. I am reminded again of what Jesus was telling his disciples earlier in Luke chapter 9 and verse 44 when he said, "Let these words sink down into your ears. Get ready," he says, "work today on building your foundation, strengthening it so you can stand for the truth when you need to without backing down, without running away, and without giving up. We need to prepare and we need to be ready." Consider 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Get ready. Prepare today to not back down from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are plenty of people around you today. There are plenty in our city right now. And as we look at the state of the world, in many cities, we are seeing just total chaos happening. But God still loves these people. And he wants them to know the truth of his word and who is going to tell them. We need to be the ones who aren't just living it out in our lives, but are opening our mouths to share Christ with others. Let the gospel be something real to you today, real enough where you're ready and you're willing to share God with others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you for the example of your word as you take us through each little step as to how you care for us, how you're strengthening us, how you are our great shepherd, how even when we walk away, even when we stray, that you come back for us. Thank you, Lord, for coming back for us. Thank you, Lord, that you go and you search out even those that don't know you already, that you are interested in them, that you want to see them come into your heavenly kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be more bold with what we say. Help us to be gentle and loving with others, Lord, but help us to give your word out to this lost and dying world, and help us not to be afraid of even being canceled or rejected. Lord, it is so important that we open our mouths and share the truth of God's word. How will they know if they do not hear? I pray, Lord, that you give us a great afternoon. Thank you for this day that we have to worship you. Help us to honor you with it. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.